My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. And what a great night, what a great morning in the Holy Ghost. And we rejoice with those who are filled with the Spirit of God today. We're very thankful for that. And if you have your Bibles, we'll look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. To my wonderful wife, grateful that she's here. Pastor and Sister Kinsey, we love so much. I'm so grateful, thankful for their friendship and this wonderful ministry has blessed so many people. And this man and woman are among the greatest in the apostolic movement, preach camp meetings, conferences all over the world, and we're just thankful to be around them for the time that we're here. And looking forward to what the Lord wants to do in this service tonight. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we're looking at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Just one passage of scripture tonight, and I'll allow you to be seated. Hebrews 13 and 8. The Bible records Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, speak to our hearts through the principles in your word. Allow us to be strengthened and ministered to. God, deliver, restore, heal, empower, and grant special miracles among your people tonight. According to your word and according to our faith, be it done to this congregation. And everyone say in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you for standing to honor the word of the Lord. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible also records in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, after Jesus Christ ascended, it says, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus, which was taken into heaven, shall so in like manner as you have seen him go, he shall come." Acts chapter 2 and verse 36 says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And so I borrow from those texts tonight and minister to you from the subject, this same Jesus, this same Jesus. Acts 1 and verse 1, it's clear that the disciples stood looking up into heaven. And the two angels stood by and reminded them that the same Jesus that had left your presence would come again. And that was an encouragement to their hearts. In Acts chapter 2 and 36, we hear Peter tell the people, "The same Jesus whom you crucified is Lord and Christ." And so we might think to ourselves, why should we identify which Jesus we speak of? I'll remind you, there's been many people throughout the ages who call themselves Jesus. It's a common name even among some cultures. And I remember being in about a junior in high school, one of the afternoon classes, just a few weeks into school, and a particular young man was sitting beside me, and I didn't know who he was, but I could tell, you know, he was doing all right. You know, he had the esteem and the respect of a lot of people, and some people just have that sort of charisma, I guess, and I could tell he was doing all right. He slumped down in his, and I don't know if he was an A student, but he was slumped down in his chair, you know. And I don't know that he attended Sunday school, but he looked more like a gangster to me. But he was nice to me, and I made a friend out of him. But I remember looking over that afternoon, and on the front of his notebook, and somewhat, I would call it calligraphy, but it looked more like that's the word I'm looking for. Graffiti. Look more like graffiti. And in those few letters, it said J-E-S-U-S on the front of his notebook. And I thought, this man is more religious than I expected. And then I realized some days later that, no, that's not a representation of his faith, but that's his name. J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, in that culture. And I was honored to meet him. He was a nice, wonderful guy. He drove a 64 Impala. And it had hydraulics, and it was powder-coated primer gray, and it was a beautiful car. And he was all right, and I made a friend out of him. But I found out everybody that calls themselves Jesus is not the same Jesus that was mentioned in the New Testament. And so we differentiate tonight, and we speak of the Jesus Christ who walked, who talked, who ministered in the New Testament. This same Jesus is the one we speak of tonight. He's the one that's here. He's the one that met us. He's the one that filled people with the Holy Ghost this very morning. I want to take some time and remind you about what the Bible says of this Jesus. In John chapter 4 and 46, we see that Jesus met with a man who was sick and about to die. Jesus spoke, and instantly the boy was healed. In Matthew 8, 14 and 15, we see that Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a terrible fever, and Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her up, and instantly she was healed of that fever. Mark chapter 1 and Matthew 8, we see Jesus met with a man with leprosy. And the man with leprosy says to Jesus, "Would you heal me?" And with an emphatic reply, Jesus says, "Yes, I will." And I still believe that's the answer he wants to give to those that come to him in faith. Matthew chapter 8 and Luke verse chapter 7, we see the centurion soldier that came to Jesus, and he said, "I have a servant who is tormented with a palsy, but I am unworthy for you to come to my house." And he said, "Therefore, send your word and my servant will be healed." He said, "Your word is enough." That reminds me of Psalms 107 and verse 20 that says he sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destruction. Oh, thank God for his word tonight. We came to stand on his word. We came to stand on his word. Luke chapter 7, a widow had a son who had died, and Jesus came by, and you guessed it, suddenly he arose and was healed. Matthew chapter 9, four men let their friend down through the rooftop and the tiling with ropes into the presence of Jesus, wondering if they might be rebuked for such a bold action. But you know our Jesus, and he said, "Rise and be healed, and thy sins be forgiven thee." And I want to tell you tonight, whatever you have to do, scratch, claw your way, rip off the tiling of the roof, but get yourself and your problem into the presence of Jesus, and I believe you'll meet that same reply. "Be healed and thy sins be forgiven thee." Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9, when the temple official named Jairus came to Jesus, he knelt at his feet and cried out for his 12-year-old daughter, for she was at home at the point of death. He followed them home, and when finally he arrived, he said unto the damsel, "Arise and be healed." And I'm listening for that voice that speaks with that authority from Jesus tonight that says, "Rise and be delivered and be healed." I wonder, are you listening for that voice? In Mark chapter 7, we see another man that's brought to Jesus. He couldn't speak and he could not hear. Jesus put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and to the man's surprise, he was instantly healed. Mark chapter 8, Jesus met with another blind man in chapter 8. He spit and touched his eyes. At first, he could only partly see, but upon that second touch, he was made completely whole. And I want to encourage someone who's been praying for a while. Maybe you've got some better, but don't stop praying, because it might be the second touch that totally delivers you from your infirmity. I feel the miracle-working power. I feel the presence of the Lord.
When the disciples saw the man that was born blind, they thought that surely he must be a sinner or his parents must be a sinner. But no, Jesus said that's not the case at all, but it's for the glory of God. And of course, he healed this man. Oh, thank God. For the woman in Luke chapter 13 with the spirit of infirmity for 18 years, finally, in a moment in the presence of Jesus, he said, "Woman, thou art loosed." And by that booming voice of authority throughout all the ages, it was heard. And the woman was delivered from her infirmity after 18 years. You see, it really does not matter how long you've suffered. For the man at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. For the woman with an infirmity for 18 years. For those the entire life who are lame and blind, Jesus Christ, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. To the 10 lepers, he said, "Go and be healed." Yes, their healing was progressive, but it came emphatically, and only one came back to say, "I want to worship you and give you honor." And that's the one that was made completely whole. And I've prayed for hundreds of people, and I've seen some people totally delivered. One particular man came to service for nothing else but a healing. He had a broken back several times. He was no longer able to work, but God touched him and healed his back. I never saw him again. But I noticed in our community, he started a bricklaying business. And for many years, he's still living, laying brick and completely whole, healed. Oh, thank God for that. Thank God for the healing. But I wonder about those who don't return. This one comes back and says, "I want to worship you." And that's the one that not only got a healing, but he got restored. And I believe that every part of his body that had been taken away had been restored, because we serve a Lord Jesus Christ that wants to not only heal, but he wants to make you ever with whole. He wants to bless your life. He wants to fill you with his spirit. Matthew chapter 9, to the woman with the issue of blood that had to press her way through the crowd, she was healed. She spent all of her money on all these physicians, but finally, Jesus was the answer that she needed. In Mark chapter 10, we saw that blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming by his neck of the woods, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the disciples said, "Quieten this man down. Jesus is busy today. He's got doctors and lawyers to meet with, and his agenda is full." But Bartimaeus cried out all the more with a loud voice. He was not willing to be shut up, but he cried out with a loud voice. And I believe somebody tonight with desperation can call on Jesus. And you don't have to be stifled or put in your place, but you hear me. Jesus said to this man, "What can I do for you, sir?" And he said, "Oh, that I might receive my sight." Oh, thank God. I feel like blind Bartimaeus. I'm going to cry out until the Lord hears my prayers. Matthew chapter 9. Met another man who couldn't speak. The disciples tried to cast it out. And Jesus said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, it would have happened." John chapter 5. The man at the pool of Bethesda. Mark chapter 12, the man with a withered hand. Jesus says, "Stretch forth your hand." Instantly the man is healed. I stop and pause just for a moment to bring to your mind these special instances of healing. And there are many others, many, many more in the Bible. But only just to further illustrate that by nature our Jesus is a healer. I believe these examples are in the New Testament. They're there, so when you think about our Lord Jesus Christ, you know emphatically that his nature is that of a healer. He wants not only to seek and to save those that are lost, but he wants to deliver the captives from their destruction. He wants to heal those of cancer and arthritis and kidney failure. I believe we serve a God that wants to grant miracles to his people. And not only healings, but he wants to deliver and help us financially. He wants us to recover from the hardships in our life. He wants to restore broken marriages from the brink of divorce. I serve a God who's willing and well able. He wants to be a help to you. He wants to minister to your need tonight. To the Greek Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15, he says, finally, through worship, she obtained her miracle. At first, it didn't seem like the Lord heard her. But through worship, she gained a miracle. And I want to tell you tonight, some of the greatest ways to receive your miracle is through radical worship to the Lord. I've seen more people receive miracles in worshiping than any other way. Prayer and worship, nothing can stop that. No devil in hell can hinder that. But you just keep on worshiping God. When the circumstances look dark, you keep on worshiping God. I mentioned just several, but we know that there were many, many more in the Bible. Jesus healed all the multitude. He had compassion on them. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 34, Mark chapter 6 and verse 56, it says it like this: as many as touched him were made whole. I thought about the woman with the issue of blood. She finally touched the hem of his garment. She was made ever with whole. But the Bible tells us that there were many, many others that touched him. And it records in Mark chapter 6 and 56, as many as touched him were made whole. And I feel in my spirit tonight that if we could touch the hem of his garment again, I believe we could receive that same touch. And touching Jesus is all that really matters. Touching Jesus is really all that matters. Many others were healed through the ministry of Paul. Luke chapter 9 says the disciples were commanded to preach the gospel and to heal the sick everywhere they went. And we know, according to John chapter 21 and verse 25, that many other miracles were done that were not recorded. In fact, all the books could not contain the great things that our Savior has done. Oh, thank God for a miracle working Savior. This same Jesus is here tonight. I stand as a mortal man, but my intention is to paint a portrait of our Savior for your viewing here tonight. It's so easy to look at a man in a pulpit, and so many times I've come to a service and I thought to myself, God, don't let me misrepresent what you want to do tonight. You see, I might get tired in my physical body. You may see the weariness in my eyes. You may feel the frailty in my weak voice, because sometimes it goes out even before I'm finished preaching. But brother, sister, don't make this mistake and think that in my weakness and frailty that somehow the power of God is not real and that it's not here tonight. Because though my voice is weak, the voice of God still reigns supreme. Though you see the weariness in my eyes, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And he's looking for an opportunity to work a miracle for his elect people. And don't look too steadfastly at this mere man, because I'm presenting to you Jesus. And our Jesus still has all power in heaven and earth. He's still able to heal any sickness. I can't touch it with my mortal hands. I can't help you even with my counsel and encouragement. But I'm preaching about the same Jesus that was in the New Testament. And he's got the power. He's got the ability. He's got the virtue. And don't you mistake it, he's here tonight in all of his glory, in all of his power. And I wonder, could you realize that same Jesus has stepped in this house tonight? If we could fully comprehend that he is right here, right now, there is nothing that's impossible. There's nothing that's impossible. Hallelujah. Say, well, things look dark. I know they do. One of the greatest culprits we face in our lives is a spirit of fear. It's one of the darkest, most treacherous spirits that you will have that plague your life. According to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, just let me deal with it here for a moment. According to Hebrews 9 and 27, the Bible says it's appointed when the man wants to die, then the judgment. We recognize that. I've been disappointed, been brokenhearted, even younger people in my life. I don't have the answers. But I know what the word of the Lord says, and there's a challenge to me as a minister to proclaim undefiled and unashamedly that the word of the Lord is our strength, and we stand on that. We recognize that death or the rapture would come to all of us. But what frustrates me is the fear of death. That's what frustrates me. You see, the Bible says it's appointed unto man, lift up your finger, once to die. But we, through evil imaginations and worry and anxiety, toil over it every minute of every day of every hour sometimes. And the Bible says we only have to face death one time. But many people suffer the agony of death thousands of times in their imagination. And my goal here tonight is simply to deal with death for a moment and say, you know what? We recognize it and we see it as the portal into eternity and to our ultimate blessing and our gift from God. Heaven is our reward. And I refuse to live every moment of my life plagued by the spirit of fear and hinder. Hey, I admit I'm going to make it to the grave one day. But devil, you get behind me. I've got a lot of living to do. And until God pulls my number, you get behind me, Satan. I'm going to live in faith and victory. I believe that salvation belongs to me. I believe that the healing virtue of God belongs to me. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Matthew 8 and 17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and he bears our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24 reminds us that by, hallelujah, his stripes we are healed. And a comparison of Matthew 8 and 17 and 1 Peter 2:24, it's clear that Jesus Christ bore and carries our sins and our sicknesses. And brother, I'm going to stand on the word of God and I'm going to say that Jesus Christ and his blood has delivered me from the effects of sin and sickness. I'm going to rejoice as God is my healer. I still believe what the word of God says in Psalms 103 and verse 2, the benefits of serving God, for he forgiveth our iniquities and he healeth our diseases. I still stand on Exodus 15 and 26 that says, if I serve God and live an obedient life, God is my healer and my refuge, and he will deliver me. I thank God for his word. Come on and clap your hands if you believe at face value what the word says. I believe there's a miracle on the horizon. Hebrews 13 and 8 says it like this. Jesus Christ, say it with me. The same yesterday, today, and forever. When I first came to the Lord, this was one of the first memory verses I ever had. And I guess it's because it was so short. Maybe I memorized Jesus wept before that one. I don't know. But really, really, I didn't recognize the significance. We understand God dealt with mankind differently through the ages. There are some seven dispensations. We live in, of course, that grace dispensation, and God dealt differently, but the nature of God never changes. And I thank God for that. And this scripture has begun to hit home so many more times as I apply it in principle to my life. Oh, thank God. The circumstances change. The culture changes. But my God never changes. In the Old Testament, he said, I am God and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And I feel the power of God strengthening me right now. I feel the unchanging hand of the Lord. Come on, somebody, and clap your hands if you feel what I'm feeling right here, right now. And so this is one of the divine perfections of God. It's one of the excellencies of our Creator. It distinguishes him from all other creatures. God is perpetually the same. He's subject to no change in his being. Therefore, God is compared to a rock in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, which remains immovable. When the entire ocean surrounding it is continually in a fluctuating state, even though all creatures are subject to change, God is unchanging, because God has no beginning and he has no ending. He does not change. He's everlasting. He's the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, according to James 1 and 17. God is permanent in his essence. His nature and his being are infinite, and so subject they are not to mutations. There never was a time when God was not, and there never will be a time that he shall cease to be. For God neither evolved or has grown or has improved. And all that he is today, brother, he has always been, and he will ever be. He said, I am God, and I change not. Hallelujah. This was his own affirmation. He cannot change for the better, for he is already perfect, and he cannot change for the worse. Hallelujah. He's altogether unaffected by anything outside himself. He can neither be improved. He will not deteriorate, for it's impossible. He is perpetually the same, and he alone can say, I am that I am. He's altogether uninfluenced by the flight of time. He is altogether uninfluenced. He is altogether uninfluenced. Hallelujah. There is no wrinkle upon the brow of eternity. Therefore, his power can never be diminished, and his glory will never fade. His attributes will never change, and whatever they were before the universe was called into existence, they are precisely the same now, and they will remain so forever. His word is forever settled in heaven. His power remains. His wisdom is undiminished. His holiness is pure, and his love is eternal. The attributes and the nature of God, they never change. Come on, somebody. We serve an unchanging God. And that's what we need to hear right now. Hallelujah. We know tonight's a night of miracles. Enough of the word of God has gone forth right now that many people have already been touched and strengthened. And right now, in this moment of faith, and let me remind you, many times, most times, Jesus said, according to your faith. This is a house of faith. This is a pastor of faith. This is a people of faith. And we're simply applying our faith to our circumstances tonight. You need a financial miracle? We serve a God. That doesn't dismiss us from hard work. I believe this generation needs more work, hard work. But I want to tell you, when you've done all you can come to Jesus. And I believe, he said, Peter, cast a hook. I believe God can work special miracles. Acts chapter 14, Paul with a loud voice said to the crippled man, rise and be healed. And I believe right now the Lord wants to work special miracles. If you have a special need in your life, I want you to stand. Whether it's financial, you need a healing in your body. There's some guests that are here tonight and you've come for special prayer. We want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Maybe I can have a few ministers help me, Brother Stafford, some of the altar workers, if you would, men, some ladies, if you'd like to come. We want to believe that the same Jesus is here tonight. Somebody say, the same Jesus. He's right here, right now. We're going to take it at his word. The Bible tells us there are many things we can do. Have faith and believe. Worship God. Lay hands on the sick according to Mark chapter 16, and they shall recover. James 5, 16, call upon the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. It went on to say, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. And that was a direct reference to those who needed physical healing in their bodies. And so we're not going to pray half-heartedly or casually, but we're going to pray effectually and fervently according to the Word of God. We're going to believe the Lord. If you're one of these with a special need, I want to ask you right there, if you'll just step into the aisle nearest to you. And I want to ask some of our prayer, our altar workers, to get at the head of each aisle. And I would like, as people walk down the aisle, to have special prayer for each aisle. And I don't want us to stop until we prayed for every person with a need. And hear me. When you come through this corridor of prayer, far be it from me if you were to stop and to cross your arms and not worship the Creator. But when you feel the virtue of God, you ought to come to this altar and worship along with this worship team and give God complete praise and worship because He's worthy. The same Jesus that walked and talked in the New Testament is here right now. I feel His presence. Come on, somebody, and lift up your hands right now. Come on now. Special miracles by the hand of Paul and the disciples. Come on and let us pray together. Come on and walk down to the altar. Don't leave this house until you've had special prayer. Come on and help us pray right now. According to your faith, come on and sing it now.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.